This is the Reading Envy Podcast, where we'll have what you're reading.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and today we have with us Terp Kristen and Josh. Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Josh and Terp Kristen are part of the Sword and Laser Book Club, and I personally am also a member, but I'm also just interested in book clubs and people reading in groups of various kinds. So would you guys like to explain what the Sword and Laser is?
Sure. Do you want me to go ahead?
Sure.
All right. It's a podcast. Well, I guess it even didn't start as a podcast and a book club.
I think originally,
yeah, and that was when it was on Ning, NING community forums. And it was started by Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont, who were friends and had worked together on other podcasts previously. And they wanted to do something of their own. And they were both interested in science and science fiction fantasy. Specifically, Tom was super science fiction guy and Veronica super fantasy girl. And they just decided to start an online book club.
I think I was a member way back in the Ning days. Were you, yeah. Terp, Kristen, I think?
I was there from day one. I heard about it on some other show and then decided, hey, I'll join it up because Veronica's a part of it and that's cool.
Yeah. I think I heard about it through some kind of tech TV connection, maybe?
That would make sense.
Twit was what I was probably listening to that heard that Veronica was going to do the show. And then the rest is history.
How about you, Josh? You were there from the very beginning, too.
Yeah, because I was friends with Tom in Austin.
You were friends with Tom?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now there's a huge, bitter feud between us now. I can't go into it for legal reasons, but I am friends with Tom, and I met him in Austin, Texas, and he ended up getting the job at Tech TV in San Francisco and roped me and another friend of his into that job. So that's my past history with him. And when I heard that they were starting up this online book club, I was really excited because that was a good way for me to read things I hadn't read before. And especially because I'm also pretty much a laser science fiction leaning reader. Hmm. And this club has introduced a lot of really great fantasy to me and kind of brushed away a bunch of stereotypes I had of fantasy and modern fantasy. So that's something that I've really, really enjoyed about it. But I was there on the early Ning days as well. And I remember it was a big controversy when we were all wondering if this transition off of Ning would be a disaster for the community and for the book club.
It was definitely a different thing to move over to Goodreads.
Yeah.
Totally different environment.
It seems to kind of blow it open.
I was going to say, now I think the Goodreads group is the number two largest group on Goodreads or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think
so,
that's right.
Way up there.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about how it works, I guess, because it started just with discussion forums, basically. Mm-hmm. And the discussion forums are still there and still very active. And some of them have to do with the book that's being read at the time, but most of them, I don't know. Which discussions do you guys take part in?
I think I found myself mostly in the book discussions. A lot of the other discussions are like on TV and stuff, and I'm not the biggest TV watcher. So they talk about, this so-and-so is getting cast for this show, or Doctor Who's coming out. I'm like, yeah, I just don't really watch those. I don't know actors. So it's really hard to jump into those conversations. But when they talk about books, I'm like, oh, I've read that, or I'm reading that with the club. So yeah, I can jump in.
Yeah, it varies for me, because sometimes I'm behind, for instance, this month, on the official book pick of the month. So I don't want to, even though people are pretty good about trying to not be spoilery or marking a thread as spoilers if there's lots of spoilers, but still I almost don't even want to be colored by whatever the initial discussions are before reading at least some of the book. So
sure.
So a lot of the time I'm catching up with the official book selection discussions near the end, and then I'm just dipping in and out of the discussions that are of other books or of current TV series and such.
I think the nice thing about all the discussion happening online instead of like a book club where you'd have to meet in person is that you can always go back to it after you've read it. Like, I haven't yet read The Dawn by Octavia Butler, and I really wanted
to. You're missing out. You really need to.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I know the discussion will be there when I'm done.
that actually does happen a lot, though. There's a lot of people who read the books later or come to the club and say, oh, I read this book. I want to go talk about this book that we read a year ago or whatever. And they'll jump into the conversation to resurrect old threads, and then all of a sudden the conversation will start right back up. So that's been a really good part of the club, I think. It's really worked out. Far better than I think anybody thought it would originally, like, to be perfectly honest.
Idea of getting everyone to read the same book, I mean, that really has worked, surprisingly. So which book do you think, like, if you look through the list, because I have the list in front of me and we'll post a link to it, I guess which book is the most surprising to you that you enjoyed, like, that you wouldn't have read otherwise? Do you have anything like that?
Let's see. I'm scrolling through now, too.
And that's what I'm doing. Actually, Dawn by Octavia Butler. I did not think I was going to like at all for some reason. I think I got the impression that it was sort of too literary for me. Like, we're all smart people who have very high, deep thoughts about books, enjoying it. And I am very superficial sometimes. And I thought it would be, you know, too highbrow for me. So I was really... And plus, it's a science fiction book, and I definitely consider myself to be more of a fantasy person. So I was really nervous about it, we'll say. And I really ended up enjoying it. I want to read the rest of the series. I just haven't had time yet, but that was a happy surprise for me. So,
and that was the most recent.
That was one of the most recent. Yeah. I don't know if it was the most recent.
Oh, right, because I think Patrick Rothfuss has been
since. Yeah, The Name of the Wind was in between there and now. The book that we're reading now I'm not a big fan of, so I kind of gave it up.
Well, and Patrick Rothfuss, that's an example of a book that never dies in the forums. It seems like people are always bringing that discussion back.
Yeah, I thought we'd actually read the book years ago, but apparently we didn't, so who knew?
Right, just everyone had.
Right. I mean, I think I ended up reading that book because of the discussions in the Sword and Laser group years ago, even though it wasn't an official pick, just because there was so much talk about it, and that both Tom and Veronica had read it and raved about it. And it was definitely, I mean, I guess it's not really surprising because there had been lots of praise for it. So it wasn't like a hidden gem or anything, but it definitely was one of the reads that opened my eyes to there being really great modern fantasy being done that I could get excited about and get into.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think if I had to pick one. The whole reason I joined this group is because I felt like I didn't know that much about science fiction and fantasy, and I wanted, like, direction. So I guess maybe I would say The Gene Wolfe.
Yay!
So
was that your pick?
Yeah, I'm incredibly biased for that one. So, hurrah!
Wow, that was magical. Well, we read Shadow and Claw, and I think what really impressed me is that people who are into Gene Wolfe are really into Gene Wolfe. And the discussions were good, and it felt like, you know, you could be brand new to it and you'd enjoy it, but you could be reading it the fifth time and you would find something new also, so... I just really liked the discussion. That was probably maybe the deepest that we ever went with a book as a group.
Ironically, that was the book led by Josh, and he put all sorts of discussion forum postings in there. Like, oh, did you know this? And oh, here's some links to help your reading. So that was ironically selected one of the opportunities where, you know, Josh had some of the biggest role to play. Did you ever go on to read the other books?
No. I mean, I read the first two instead of just the first one, but...
Oh, you got to read the... Well, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, it was a book I had introduced to Tom, and he had loved it, and then I had pushed for it to be a pick for a while, and then it finally was a good time for that to happen, and they asked me to be discussion leader, and that was really fun for me because... And they asked me on the podcast as well.
And no, I think I vaguely remember this now.
My guest appearance. and that was a really, I didn't put that down as my surprising read, because of course I was a huge fan of it, but it was a really fun reread for the reason you're saying, is that there were new pieces of kind of the puzzle that Gene Wolfe was laying out that I was able to put together going through it a second time, and going through it with some resources that I didn't have the first time I read it. Ironically, I ended up liking the third and fourth book sort of less during this reread, but there's a sequel to the entire, it's kind of an epilogue to the entire series. There's a fifth book, Earth of the New Sun, that I really hated when I read it the first time, and this time I loved it. And I think it was because reading it with the group made me read all four books very closely together, and so much of the story was fresh in my mind, that when I read the epilogue, which previously I'd read it something like 3 years after reading the initial four, so much connected that didn't connect before. So that was a really, that might have been kind of the most surprising read that was not an official Sword and Laser read, but it was because of Sword and Laser that I had that experience. So that was really fun.
Well, you mean surprising in the good way, because there's also surprising in the less good way.
Yes.
Like when you really look forward to a book and you're like, oh, I'm kind of let down by this.
Right. I guess that both happened. Yeah, I was a little let down by the third and fourth books because, again, I might be missing things, but I didn't make as many new connections or see as many new things in those as I did with the first two. But I made tons of new connections with the epilogue book. So, and it'll probably be completely different when I reread all five of them again, you know, in 5 years or something.
So you think you'll read them another time?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I definitely am drawn to, it's definitely one of my favorite series of all time. And I mean, because when I say I was disappointed in the third and fourth, that still doesn't mean I'm like, those are trash now.
Right.
still one of my favorite series, and something that convinced me. There was a time when I was even drifting away from science fiction and reading.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? And reading Shadow and Claw was something that sucked me back in, because I just found it really amazing.
Well, I think Shadow and Claw is one of those types of books that's approachable not just from the science fiction and fantasy lovers. I mean, I think that is definitely got a broader reach than, you know, some of the picks. Like, we read A Dance of Cloaks as one of the picks 1 month. And that, if you're not really into, like, you know, fantasy with grit and sword fights and daggers and whatnot, then you're probably not going to be too into that. It doesn't have that, like, broad-reaching appeal that some of these other books have had.
Right.
Oh, so that was the David Dalglish one. Because we also had Dance of Dragons. I thought they were the same thing, but no, that's two different books.
They're slightly different.
Slightly different dances. Yeah, and I find that's true of another pick that I've had really good, on the science fiction side, that I've had really good luck recommending to people who don't normally read science fiction, which is Wool by Hugh Howley.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Because it's just so strong. And so, I mean, it's the characters are strong, the story is strong, the writing is strong. It just all works really well, and it's so engrossing. And it's really solid science fiction, but it is appealing in a way that, or I guess just more accessible and engrossing in a way that some other science fiction works would be harder to get into if you're not a fan of the genre. So
yeah, I loved that book.
I did too.
So did I. Actually, that was another one. I wasn't sure what to make of it when I went into it, but I ended up devouring that.
Right. And that's not very sword-like.
No, definitely not.
So should we talk about the opposite side of the good parts? And I don't necessarily mean, like, I hated this book, but does the group experience ever either tarnish you against a book, or I don't know, does, if someone else doesn't like it, does that affect you? I wonder about that sometimes.
That happened a bit with me with Shadow and Claw because I was also moderating. I'm a moderator on the Goodreads forums, and when I was moderating the and trying to start new discussion topics for Shadow and Claw, there was one forum member who expressed their displeasure with the book in a really kind of almost kind of trolling way. I couldn't really tell if it was trolling or not, but it was very articulate and intelligent, but definitely written in a way to be kind of as inflammatory as possible.
Yeah.
It was basically saying that Gene Wolfe was a cretinous and immoral person for writing the book and imagining the future in the way he did. So it was like attacking the character of the author instead of just criticizing the book. And if it was trolling, it worked on me because I responded rationally, but I think I responded also with just more kind of, I would have handled it differently if I had to do it over, because it ended up being this long back and forth between me and this one person where really I should have just removed myself earlier and been like, okay, it's obvious that, you know, you have this strong opinion and I have a strong opinion and we're not going to come to a lovely rational middle ground. Hmm. And I don't think that tarnished the book for me, but I felt like that made the discussion slightly less comfortable than it should be, especially if I'm leading. I don't feel like I've leading a discussion. I felt like I should have, you know, stepped back from that. So oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask, did you feel like you'd let people down if they didn't like the book as much as you liked it?
Maybe. Well, I mean, because you can't really change someone's taste. You know, you can't change someone's subjective take on something. So I don't think it's more that I felt like I let people down by having the discussion kind of derail in that one specific case into an argument between me and one other person, because then it's, you know, then it's not really conducive to bringing a lot of other people in. Although, I mean, there actually were a number of other members who chimed in on that discussion in interesting ways. So it wasn't a total.
So in fairness, I remember reading the book. I remember loving the book. I remember loving the discussions. I don't remember being particularly turned off by that thread, for whatever it's worth to you. So it didn't scar the experience in any way for the group, I don't think.
Okay,
so
cool.
I'm looking at the list and I'm trying to figure, I don't see any books that were like, oh God, I just used the word like. Anyway, I don't see any books that were universally hated. I think there were a couple that were less liked in general than others. Dance of Cloaks had a lot of mixed opinion, if you will, but I can't remember. I'm looking through this list. I don't see one that was like universally panned by the group.
No,
except there's the
Legacy of the Dragon's name.
But even that wasn't universally panned. That was Veronica didn't like it. Ergo, we have a new mascot name.
Yeah, I actually loved that book.
Oh, good.
I didn't read it. Right. I skipped it.
We're talking about Memoirs Found in a Bathtub by Stanislaw Lem. And somebody disliked it so much that henceforth, every book that has been disliked and people stop reading, they say that they've lemmed it in the group. So we even have our own lingo.
Yes, a new verb. Well, I don't think it was universally hated, but I think it might have the least number of strong proponents of any.
Well, as I said, I think Memoirs Found in the Bathtub is probably on that list. What the other book I just said, The Dance with Cloaks, is probably on that list. There was a lot of vitriol for The Princess Bride, surprisingly. That was one.
Yeah.
When people didn't like it, it surprised me, but I think they just got sick of the tongue-in-cheek.
Well, and I think it surprised them, too, because everyone's always loved the movie, but they'd never read the book, and this gave them the opportunity to read it, and they were like, oh.
Yeah, it's just that the framing story of the narrator in the book is much more cynical and tongue-in-cheek, like you're saying, than the movie, so that can rub people the wrong way. I mean, I actually kind of liked that as an interesting, different take on it. I prefer the more sentimental and friendly version in the movie, but I could understand people's reaction against that. But yeah, that did, I think that was a shock for a good number of
people. It was definitely a shock for me, although I liked it as well. Although by the end of the book, I was kind of feeling as if, all right, I get the point. We just need to get through the story now. Like, you don't need to be as tongue in cheek this way. It's kind of lost his luster.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's just an unpleasant person to spend that much time with. And it's done.
I think that is it.
Yeah. And I think the author did that on purpose. He was making, you know, he purposely wanted to create a guy who was just not the most lovely human being. But yeah, that's definitely different than the loveliness of the film. Yeah.
You guys read every book then? It kind of sounds like you are pretty familiar with most of them.
No.
We did a count. There was a thread where they were counting books recently. Oh, yeah. And I think I'd come up with, I read all but five or six of them.
Wow, really?
That's the amazing. Picks. So I joined the book club because, like many people, I wanted to get new experiences, be exposed to new books, and kind of be challenged. And I didn't, at the time I joined, I didn't think I'd be reading nearly as much as I do now. But I do try and read every sword and every laser. And I really try and stick with the lasers because, as I said, I'm definitely a fantasy person, definitely a sword. So pushing myself and seeing new things outside the sword genre is, I think, good for me in many ways.
Yeah.
I'm much more delinquent than you because there's about 15, it looks like, looking at my list that I've not read. Some of those are read halfway and abandoned. And some of those were secondary picks, so those, you know, aren't all. There were some months where Tom and Veronica would have one. There would be the one official pick, but there would also be a secondary one that you could read if you wanted to as well. And a lot of those times I just didn't read the second one because I was too busy reading other stuff of my own.
Yeah,
yeah, there were definitely side picks, and I should say I did not necessarily read all of them end to end. There were definitely some I lemmed. For lack of a better word.
But it's the trying that matters.
But I definitely did approach every book.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Most of the books.
I have to admit, a lot of times, especially with the sword side of things, I don't even try them.
Well, that's that. Like I said earlier, that's the thing that I have really enjoyed about this is because I would not normally gravitate towards, or before I would not gravitate towards fantasy, and now I have a much broader-minded view of myself enjoying those kind of things. And in fact, I've started a real-life book club with two coworker friends of mine that's just reading fantasy books that we've always meant to read and haven't. And that's kind of a direct spawn of the sword and laser experience. So,
wow, that's amazing. Awesome. Book clubs are addictive.
They are. They're self-replicating.
I kind of wonder, like, if you could pick a book that hasn't been done by the sword and laser yet that you'd really like them to read. Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Yes. The Orphan's Tales by Catherine Valente.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That would be, yeah. I've told Tom that before, and I'll push some more and see if I have any have any effect.
Sword
but
book or a laser book?
It's a sword. It's a kind of modern day fairy tales. It's a bunch of individual short stories that are each kind of a surreal fairy tale, but then they're all interconnected in this huge web. By the time it's four books total, and by the time you've read all four, there's just this amazing web of connections between them all that are mind-blowing if you read them. I suggest if you read them that you read them all four as closely together as possible, because then you can get that maximum kind of dizziness at her brilliance.
I would love that. I've only read the first two, mm-hmm. but if I had to pick a Valente book, I would pick Palimpsest. But we haven't read any of her officially.
Mm-hmm.
So would you read her unofficially?
I think she gets mentioned in the else are you reading thread, which is probably the thread I pay the most attention to, because I get a lot of book ideas from that.
Yeah, I think I'm looking through my Goodreads catalog. I think there are probably two books or one book and one author I think I would like love it if the storm laser read.
Mm-hmm.
One would be A Wrinkle in Time, because I really want to go back to that world and see if it's what
yes.
I remember it to be.
Oh, that would
yes.
be so great.
I've been meaning to do that too. So yeah, I would be.
And maybe even read
that.
Like since it's a relatively quick read, maybe read all of the three or the four that form the core set of the books. Yeah. I think that would be a really interesting like visit back, especially as they had the 50th anniversary recently. So So that would be really awesome and selfish. And then the other author I would love to have them read would be John Brunner, either The Sheep Look Up or Stand on Zanzibar.
Oh, absolutely.
Those classic science fiction books would just...
Oh,
I
yeah.
think it would be really fun for the group to read.
Overpopulation and...
We had
info
a...
Info dump.
Yeah, we had a... Didn't we do a thread that was for people who were reading... We just did a little mini group of people who read Stand on Zanzibar.
Yeah, I think there was a random...
Yeah.
Side read at one point. Mm-hmm. Kind of
why did we do that?
Spontaneously, let's read this book.
Yeah,
I definitely read that book then, but I read The Sheep Look Up ages ago. That was actually my first introduction to John Brunner.
I would selfishly love it if we did Stand on Zanzibar, because I do actually kind of love it when it's a book I've already read and read recently enough and be like, aha, I can discuss that, but I don't have to reread it.
Yes. I do that all the time. We're on the book for next month is Aleph Fanzine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Uh-huh. Read that, 6 months or so ago. So I'm really looking forward to the discussion. And I'm also saying, hey, I've got a free time. I can catch up on my other reading now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't often reread unless... I can't actually think of a single time I've reread. I've just jumped in on the discussion if I can remember enough about the book. But I think for that one, I might have to reread it. I haven't read it since 2012, so...
Oh, that was when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a review copy back then, so... I loved that book. I've been pushing it on everyone I know, fantasy readers or not, you know?
That was a fantastic book. And it's not your typical fantasy either. I mean, it's not... swords and kings and knights. It's a different world entirely.
I think that wasn't that the reason it was specifically picked this time is that there was I remember some thread from Veronica saying, okay, we'll do something that's not castles and knights.
Yeah.
Although in that thread there were a lot of people, I guess there's a vocal minority who was tired of the knights, because in that thread, everybody who participated, I like the castles, but we could read this instead, and they would have a suggestion. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that this really does, is it shows kind of the breadth of each of those categories that people don't necessarily think of when they think of fantasy and science fiction. So you can learn a lot just about what's there.
What do you think the group reaction was to Cloud Atlas? Because that was a book that kind of crossed genres and... had a wide variety of writing or voices, if you will. And I think that one was one of the more divisive books that we've read.
Yeah, but, it's funny to see it in this list because I love that book and I love that author, but I don't particularly remember discussing it in this group. And I have this like vague memory that maybe people didn't actually even read far enough to get to either the lasery part or the post-apocalyptic part. Because they couldn't get through the first few parts.
It was definitely a jarring experience every time. It was different, the different voices. Although I made it all the way through the end. I happened to be in London when I was reading the book. So when I got to the part where they were using a pigeon, I was like, oh, I can imagine some of my coworkers reading this. And all of a sudden, it clicked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that book, too. Yeah, I'm trying to remember... I don't know if that was another one that I read that I was rushing to read close to the end of the month, so I didn't witness a lot of the discussion. But yeah, I vaguely remember what you're saying, Jenny, that there were some people who found the early ones that were written in more kind of flowery Victorian or stilted Victorian diction, that was just too much for them, that they were like, I'm out of here. I'm not
done.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a shame, yeah, because I thought it was really amazing how he pulled off all those different styles and made each story interesting and how it was
and
all...
Made them relate in a way that you didn't realize until you'd read everything. I mean, it all came back around.
Yeah.
Which was a nice like discovery for me as I read the book, which I may have just ruined for everybody that didn't read it. So I apologize. But...
Oh, I know. I think that's all right.
Well, yeah. Well, you didn't reveal exactly how. So.
Yeah.
And that would probably give someone some hope who might be finding the early parts difficult if they're like, okay, if this ties together in an amazing way, maybe I'll push through.
I'll keep trying.
Right.
You know, there's one book that I haven't read yet, and one of the student workers where I work, it's his favorite book of all time, and there was a lot of discussion on it. It's the Hyperion book by Daniel.
Oh my gosh, you're missing out. You have to listen.
Yeah.
To
that.
That's what I keep hearing.
There's one voice in the audiobook that is a little bit grating. It's the voice of the woman, but that book, particularly the audiobook for Hyperion, is amazing. The trick is with Hyperion, so I originally read that book in 2001 or so, and nobody told me it was the first book in a series of four, of a cantus of four. So I read the first book, and everybody said it was this amazing book, but it kind of ends. It doesn't end so much like neatly, so much as it just stops. And I was so pissed off when I read this the first time, because I didn't know that there were three more books in the series, and I didn't realize that this was how it was supposed to happen. So I was like, this book is the crappiest ending. Nothing happens. And, you know, threw it across the room, said, I'm never seeing this book again. And then 4 or 5 years later, I was out on a snowboarding trip, and somebody said, oh, no, you have to read the next book. I was like, there was a next book? And then when Sword and Laser read it, I reread it, and then I read the rest of the books in the cantos, and it was amazing. So if you're going to read Hyperion, you have to at least read the next one, which I think is, oh gosh, I don't even remember. You don't have to read the Endymion books, but you have to read the second Hyperion book.
Well, and I feel like the discussion that happened during then, because I would just kind of, you know, not really read it, but skim it, because I didn't want to have anything given away. But it seemed like everyone was reading that and then reading the next books. And there was so much excitement in it. And that's the kind of thing I love to see.
Yeah, it definitely is it's like a sweeping space opera and sucks you into the trying to figure out what's going to happen next. So yeah, it was something where people pretty much jumped to the second book immediately if they were into the first book.
Yeah, if they got to the end of the first book, I think they went on to the second. Huh. If they didn't get through the first book, then they kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Space opera, though. Maybe that would be a space opera I would love.
Not space opera in the traditional sense.
Like, yeah. I mean, it has a huge amount of literary influences as well. I mean, it's structured after the Canterbury Tales of all things. So each character is a different pilgrim on their way to Hyperion. Yeah. I mean, it has a lot of really fascinating influences, but so space opera is just one of the ingredients. I shouldn't like say that it's purely space opera.
So, since we're talking here on a podcast, and the Sword and Laser also has a podcast, let's talk a little bit about how that figures into things, because that was a later development.
Late. A couple of books in, but I think
I think they just gravitated towards that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was maybe after the third book that they decided that, you know, hey, we do podcasts all the time. why don't we make this into a podcast?
Yeah,
that accompanies it. And they've added, you know, a number of things over the years, but the basic format hasn't changed that much, where they basically discuss the pick of the month and mention certain threads on the forums that struck their interests. And well, I guess
SFF News, I guess, too.
Yeah. I think when it started, it'd be interesting to go back to the very first ones. It might have just been discussion of the pick of the month. And then they added, science fiction and fantasy news, both book releases and things that are happening in film and TV. And
I think the discussion of the book, though, has gotten a lot more developed over the time. And it's gotten a lot more regular and a lot more structured, which I think has been good. I've enjoyed it because it's one of the few podcasts I listen to is the day it comes out. I don't have a lot of time for podcast listening, especially if I'm trying to read three books.
Right.
So, or listen to three books, because I do the audiobooks a lot. So But I will break up my audiobooks so I can go listen to the Sword and Laser podcast, among others, but that's one of them.
Yeah, and I know some people that listen to hearing if their name is mentioned.
My name is mentioned fairly often, and I still like giggle a little bit inside with glee every time I hear it. I'm like, oh, they mentioned me. I'm so excited.
Well, I like that it's like this running gag now that Tom always calls Tomahome a woman. Yeah. So.
Poor Tomahome.
And then, just imagine Tomahome be like, one of these days, Tom.
And now he's going to be happy because he's on this one, too.
That's because he was just mentioned here. So.
He has a way.
His gender right.
Yeah, and so there's the podcast, and then for a while they had an actual video show with a mascot. Mm-hmm. And then they've done author interviews. I've really started to enjoy those. Like the whole reason I ever picked up a book by Gail Carriger was because of their interview with her. And she was such a character.
Did they do that one on the video show or just the audio show? Do you remember?
It was video because she had her outfit and she had her tea. And
that's right.
She was about the tea. Amazing.
Oh, I still haven't watched that one. I'll have to watch
it.
Oh,
it's totally worth it.
I was really nervous when they said they were going to do a video show because I loved them as the audio show. And then I've seen some podcasts go from audio to video and not make the transition well. But I think Tom and Veronica did it really well, where they were able to keep a format that made sense, and they were able to keep up the audio while they were doing that so that you had the experience the full way. It was kind of one augmented the other. They weren't living in bubbles.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And now that they're doing a lot of the author interviews and just posting them to the audio, or doing the Google Hangouts. The Google Hangouts are pretty cool too. So,
Are those still happening? I've never done one of those.
They happen every now and then. You have to kind of pay attention on Twitter or go stalk their Google Plus page when around. What time is it? I think it's 7 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesdays or every other Tuesday ish. Oh. If they're recording live, that's when they'll do it.
Huh. I've missed that completely somehow.
I've randomly found it every now and then, and I keep trying to remind myself, hey, it's Tuesday at 7 o'clock, you should go check it out, and then I forget. So
yeah, it's usually when I'm at work or just leaving work because it's 5 here, so I was able to
that
do it
thing.
One time. I know, it's very evil.
It gets in the way of all this reading.
I know,
it does. It's unacceptable.
Did either of you guys read the book that they called Elf Punk? What was it? Unshapely Things.
Yeah, that was the book I joined on.
It was an awkward one for you to join on.
Yeah. I wasn't really a huge fan of that.
I enjoyed it, but I can see how that's not for everybody.
And it was called Unshapely Things by Mark Del Franco.
Yeah, and I've
never
read it
heard of
him. So. He's written more books in that series.
Oh, really?
I've read more books in that series.
I mean, it was a pretty classic urban fantasy novel, right? Because it's like the fairy... Was he a fairy?
He was a druid, I think.
But he was a detective.
Sort of. Yeah, he was working with the police department. He lost his powers, and the entire, overarching saga, or one of the parts of the overarching, the connecting saga, was that he was trying to get his powers back and understand what had happened to his powers.
Yeah.
That book, I think, turned a lot of people off to the fantasy aspects of the group early on, anyway. So I think it was a bit of an awkward... You're either going to like this or you're not going to like this pick. One of the more divisive ones.
The funny thing is that it has a lot of similarities to things like... I'm completely blanking on the one that everyone reads.
Dresden Files?
Yeah, Dresden Files. But I was looking through the list. We've never read it as a group, but everyone in the group reads those books.
Oh, yeah. Veronica's a huge fan of the Dresden Files. Yeah, that's surprising. Well, I think part of it is there's a little bit of resistance in the group or from portions of the group for starting something that's part of a huge series. There's people more want things that are standalone. But I think in the Dresden Files, doesn't
each
book pretty much...
Each
yeah.
Book,
yeah, so that would work then. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is there.
Well, I think particularly with fantasy, if you limit yourself to standalones, you're going to miss out on a good portion of the genre.
Yeah.
That's what Tom has said multiple times when people have said, like, oh, I don't want to get sucked into a 20 volume, blah, blah, blah. And, but yeah, Tom has said the same thing where it's like, well, we're going to, there's like, that was, there's probably like 80% of fantasy would have to be thrown out of the window if we did no series at all. So.
Yeah, there have been some where we've been, where they've been standalones, but a lot of them have been number one series, but they've, by and large, most of them have been reasonably good as standalone books when we've done these fantasies. So I'm looking through the list to see if I can find one that didn't stand well on its own.
Well, we read one of the George R. R. Martin books that was not The Beginning.
Where, Yeah, that one doesn't stand well on its own.
Because we had a Game of Thrones, and that made sense, but then I feel like we did another one. Oh, yeah, Dance of Dragons.
We did this one. Yeah,
because everyone was so excited. Well, at least our moderators, right?
I was excited. I read it with them.
Yeah. Well, I'm not reading any of those books until it's finished, so I did not read that one.
So what happens if it doesn't get finished?
I guess I'll miss out.
Have you watched the show?
I tried it.
Not for you, huh?
Not for me. I don't really deal well with violence. I don't mind it in my reading, but I don't like to watch it. It's a weird
thing. Okay. Yeah, they definitely have their like quota of like shocking sexuality and shocking violence in each episode. So yeah, that would be tough.
I don't care about the sex, but...
Yeah, ironically, when I read about the violence, I find it almost harder than TV, because I feel like I've got to read it to get through the next part, but TV, I can just go do something else.
Yeah.
Wait for that more fast forward.
You can look away from the screen for a moment.
I can.
Right. No, that was definitely another series. It was kind of that and Wise Men's Fear were the two... Game of Thrones and Wise Men's Fear were the two fantasy books that convinced me that I can be a sword as well. I don't have to just be a laser.
Yeah, I really liked the Rothfuss. I enjoyed reading that very much.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of another fantasy on here. Well, like, I had never read The Hobbit somehow.
What?
I know.
What?
So when we read it as a group, it was so much better than just reading it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so much more out of it when people are, like, super fans of something and they know everything and they can tie it to all the little details.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good experience.
Foundation was fun for me because I had loved that as a young science fiction nerdling, but I think I was 10 or 11 when I read it, so I was really worried that going back to it I'd be like, oh, this is horrible and outdated and blah blah blah. And it definitely was clunky and old fashioned in some ways, but it was still a really solid story, and it was almost, I think, just the kind of economy of his style, just that he was like, here's the story, and we're running through the story, and we're going to get through the story as quickly as possible, but it's still going to be interesting. It was just a really fun, kind of almost like a breath of fresh air compared to some of the more hugely expansive and dense things we had read around that time. So that was a fun experience that I reread something from my youth and still liked it.
Yeah, that was just my first time reading that book, and because I've read so much modern science fiction, it was a lot harder for me to get into. It's kind of like, okay, stuff happens, and then more stuff happens, and the book's over.
Yeah, it's so brisk. I mean, it's definitely, I wouldn't want to read that style all the time at all, but I think maybe it was also other stuff I was reading around that same time. But when I read it, I was like, oh, thank God, this is just like a narrative that really, really moves.
Yeah.
So
it's all about that balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely something to be said for that.
I remember the weird thing that sometimes comes back around and you don't expect it to. It's the vampires. Vampires in space.
Oh, yeah. Which was that? That was a good novel overall. But that one part of it, I mean, I felt it worked, but I kind of understood people who felt that just didn't necessarily need to be in the book. But yeah, it was more the thing that was happening kind of outside of the book was just the kind of cultural reaction against things that have been done with vampires and pop culture in general over the last,
that was badly timed.
Yeah.
For the, That was badly timed with respect to everything else that was going on.
Yeah, so it seemed like after that, because that was Blindsight by Peter Watts, and then after that, anything that happened in space, we were looking for vampires again. Just in case.
Well, you know, where else would you find vampires?
I haven't tried his other book, his second book. I'm curious to see if that stuff comes back in there, but...
That was one of the books I skipped, so...
Well, I guess
I would read something else by him, but it's not super high on my list. But
yeah, well, it wasn't for me. And then I'm looking at some early reviews of it, and it's the story back on Earth.
Oh, it's so, the same world, but
yeah, it's like parallel instead of later on or before. So that interests me more, I think.
that would be intriguing, because I remember there being little bits and pieces about what was happening on Earth. Talked about by the characters in that novel, so that'd be intriguing to see that fleshed out.
So, other than just introducing yourself to books that you wouldn't have read otherwise, what else does this whole format of this online book club, what does that do for you?
Well, there's been interesting things where I've actually made connections with people in real life that started in Goodreads and started in Ning just because of Sword and Laser. There's Alden O'Neill on the forums, whose real name is Barry O'Neill. We ended up going to the my first Dragon Con convention together and splitting a room, and we had never met in person before, but it was just because of we had met in Sword and Laser, and he also had a musical project for a while called the Clive Royal Project, where he uploaded to a website tracks of a song that he had made, but split into the different components, like the vocal track and the music were separate, and he invited people to take those pieces and collaborate with him online, basically. And one of those songs was inspired by the Sword and Laser group, and he had written this kind of epic hard rock song, and the lyrics were about a battle between science and magic, and he has a really awesome singing voice. And so me and my friend Carl have done music together for years, and we live in different cities, and so we've already been collaborating just online by trading files back and forth. And so we took the vocals that Barry had put up on his Clive Royal site and added drums, and Carl's added hard rock guitar, and I added some keyboards, and so it ended up being a collaborative Sword and Laser song.
And we're gonna link to it, I think, right?
Yeah. And then I made a video for it that takes these takes a bunch of stills of old pulp science fiction and fantasy art from like the 40s and 50s and matches it to the lyrics of the song as much as I could. So yeah, that's a video I gave you the link for. So that was a really fun thing that both this creative project and this friendship came out of just, you know, talking to someone online on a book club forum. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, I haven't seen Alden O'Neill for a long time, I don't think, in the forums.
Yeah. I saw him earlier this year, and I talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, that he had fallen off of keeping track, because he had kind of been more of a fan of the smaller, more kind of intimate nature of the original Ning forums.
Yeah.
And he definitely participated when we went over to Goodreads, but it kind of became too overwhelming for him at one point. So that's an interesting counterpoint to, I mean, the growth is really good, but on the other hand, you know, there's something about a small community that can make people more comfortable to a certain extent when it's a huge group and all the threads are constantly, you know, being pushed to the bottom by new threads.
Yeah, if you go for a day or a week or so, it could be very intimidating to come back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was the case for him. But I did notice on Goodreads that he's following along with some of the recent picks, even if he's not participating in the forums. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, so he's still participated in that way.
So. So tell me, when you went to Dragon Con, did you meet any other Sword and Laser types there?
I mean, there were some. Well, actually, there were. I didn't meet them directly, but each time Tom and Veronica did a live podcast there on the last day of the con, and so then there was a room filled with Sword and Laser people. So that was fun. But they might have done it. I haven't gone the last 2 years, so I don't know if in those 2 years they finally put together a Sword and Laser meetup that was separate from that podcast, that would just be like a more informal fans getting together thing.
I think people are too busy drinking.
That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem.
Because every year I say, I'll drive over, I'll come over. And everyone's like, what? Well.
Right. So
it's the culture of the con, I think.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But, oh, and the other thing is that they've started recently to encourage Sword and Laser meetups in different towns, and just have people meet face to face and discuss the pick of the month and whatever else you want. So,
I wonder how many of those have happened, because I know that the DC area, which is where I live, Washington DC area, there are a lot of us there, but all of us work in the DC area, and we all have had that craziness that's associated with that. So actually getting together has been problematic. I mean, Rob, who's one of the other moderators, who's one of the more active participants, although he has not been around from the beginning, he lives maybe an hour from me, but it's a long hour. So as much as it makes sense that we would want to meet up, it's just never, it doesn't seem to work, at least here. So I know they've one meetup with, I think, the Orange County group, but I wonder if any of the other groups have been able to meet up.
Well, the San Francisco one has met twice, and I was able to go to the first of those, and Veronica did too. And the second one, neither Veronica and I were at, but I think that had about 8 people or 10, I can't remember.
That's good.
And then the third one is actually this Monday, so I have to finish the Ted Chiang book so I could participate.
Or you can love it one way or the other.
That's right, I could just fake it.
I think that's great.
But yeah, so that one's going. I think it really helps that Veronica is committed to going as much as she can, because that'll definitely make people excited about, I get to meet Veronica.
Plus, I think she has some of the resources where she can, like, it's more easy for her to approach, a bookstore owner and say, oh,
yes,
hey, we want to have a meetup. Or as, hey, Kristen, random person calls up Borders doesn't exist anyway, Barnes & Noble. Hey, Barnes & Noble, I'd love to have a meetup. What? Like, who am I? Why would I do that?
Yes, that's definitely true, because she knew we've been having it at Borderlands SF, and she already knew the owner and was able to, well, actually, I think it was Fresno Bob from the forums who introduced the owner to her. But anyway, yes, that definitely, I helped. She kind of did the spearheading of doing the first talking to Alan and Jude of Borderlands. And then I helped arrange the details, but yes, it's definitely a bigger thing when Veronica can be the ambassador for Sword and Laser than just one of us random people.
Seems like a good pairing, though. Borderlands with the Sword and Laser.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. They're a science fiction and fantasy bookstore, so yeah, it's great.
Don't get any of those around.
No. Even out here, I don't see a lot of those. There's a lot of other random things in DC, but
I haven't been able to find anyone in my area.
Aww.
This is why I need to belong to an online book club.
Well, so that's funny that you say that, because part of the reason I enjoy having the online book club is I work with a lot of very smart people, but none of them reads. So if I want to talk about books, well, I think that a lot of us use our brains very, very heavily at work. For those people who don't know, I am an aerospace engineer and I design satellites for a living. So a lot of us think a lot at work. And when I get home, the last thing I want to do is read a book or whatever. I want to turn on the TV and not think.
Right.
Mm. So I suspect that a lot of my coworkers have that problem as well.
Right.
So finding people who want to read and talk about books at work has been a challenge, which is why I love the online thing. And I'm a little too shy to go out and just randomly find a book club and say, hey, I want to be a part. Online's so much easier.
It is.
Right, right.
And you don't have to time it at all.
Exactly. I don't have to drive anywhere. Yes. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to look weird or
Right. So, come as you are.
There's no stress involved. I can check it from my phone while I'm on the toilet. I mean, yeah.
Right, right.
So.
Well, plus, I don't know the statistics of men versus women in the sword and laser, but if I had to guess, I would say probably being a woman is less common. So they always look
well
for your opinion.
But yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, at least in discussions, it's not, it never seems overwhelmingly male. It probably is more just because both genres kind of skew towards male, but it's becoming less and less the case in general.
Yeah, I love that.
And probably in the members. I wonder if there's any kind of, I'm looking on the site.
Veronica and Tom recently did a set of surveys, right? I wonder if they have any statistics on that. There was a lot of
things. We haven't seen that yet, have we?
Right.
I have. So I don't know if they have, but yeah, I would love to know what the metrics came out from that.
Yeah, that'd be,
you know, the gender split.
See. Mm-hmm.
And even like the economic and sociological, the social splits,
mm-hmm.
you know, who does what, or what fields they work in and what education level they've had and what regions of the country they're all from.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that comes up sometimes as a topic about the authors we're reading. You know, is there enough diversity in them?
Right,
you know,
right.
So. One of the things that cracks me up about that entire set of conversations, and it makes me feel like I'm a really bad feminist or a really bad, like, female reader, is a lot of dudes, a lot of guys will say, we're not reading enough female authors. We feel that, you know, females are underrepresented. I'm just like, well, you know, I think we're reading a good amount for how many there are that write quality fiction or quality genre fiction. And everybody says, oh my gosh, we should be reading this and this. You know, I don't really feel a compelling need to read somebody just because they're a gender or a race or,
right.
you know. I want to read a book because it's good. And, you know, we've read actually a fair few females. I'm looking, especially this year. We read His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik. We read Natural History of Dragons. We read
well, two of my
Anne Leckie's book. We read Cherry Priest's book. We read Lois McMaster Bujold. You know, we've read a lot of females recently.
But I think that was intentional, too.
I don't think it was as intentional as you might think. I don't think we went out for Anne Leckie's book and said, we want a female. There was a book that everybody said was good. I personally hated it, but everybody else seemed to think it was fantastic.
Which one?
Ancillary Justice.
I love that book. I
hated that book with a passion. That book was not for me.
Yeah, but I would say probably the three books I've liked the most this year are all by women. Ancillary Justice, Dawn, and I just lost it. What was the other one? The Curse of Chelion was this year, wasn't it? No, maybe that was last year.
I thought it was early this year, but yeah, it may have been last year. Yeah. Although the book that we're getting ready to read is another female author who is fantastic. So
remind me of what that is again? I already forgot.
Aleph the Unseen.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the book that you said you might be reading.
It's not on my list. I don't remember.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist yet. Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to the discussion. I read that either late last year when I was recovering from surgery or early this year when I was still recovering from surgery, but I was theoretically back to normal. Had a lot of free time on my hands. I'd like to see what other people think of that. I hope everybody likes it as much as I did, because I will feel slightly let down if they don't.
Yeah,
I think
That's the danger of having something that you really love. Like, if we read A Wrinkle in Time and people tear it apart, I would be so sad.
Are you kidding? It would be far worse if we read it and I didn't like it. Or, you know, I remember loving that series. And if we read it and all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is crap.
Yeah.
I was just super disappointed. I would have felt bad for ruining it for myself.
So any last thoughts about The Sword and Laser? Anything you haven't gotten to say?
Another fun thing for the podcast was I ended up doing a theme song for it, because for a while they were just using Jonathan Coulton's The Future. What is it? It's going to be The Future Soon. Yeah. That. And so I said to Tom, like, hey, what if do you want a original theme song? He's like, sure. Cook up something and we'll see what we think of it. And the original thing I send them, they hate it. I mean, they didn't say they hated it. He was very gentle in the way he said it, but it was obvious that it was not gonna fly. But the fortunate thing about that was, like, it spurred me. I was like, what? How could they? Oh, what? And so then I, like, worked really hard on the second thing I sent them, and they ended up loving that and using that.
So the current theme is you? The dur-dur-dur-dur-dur.
Yep.
So a little bit of a funny story about that. I actually ended up using that theme as my ringtone.
That's awesome.
My phone would go off and it'd be like, who's playing Sword and Laser? Like, Sword and Laser for me? And I was like, oh, it's my phone. My phone is now Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah. Longest time it was that do-do-do-do-do. But I would really like to hear the first song that you prepared.
Oh, it's like when I went back and listened to it, I was like, oh, they're right. So it was this attempt to have, like, kind of a monk voice singing the sword, and then when it went into laser, then it became all science fictiony. But it went and synthesizers kicked in and stuff. But it was just my voice didn't really work for it, and it was too kind of gothy and moody as well. Like, it wasn't a good, like, hey, we're about to listen to a fun podcast. You know?
You're not so. Selling me on not wanting to share this.
So. I really want to hear it. I'm sorry. Maybe if I get really drunk at some point and you're around me, I would reveal it, but probably not otherwise.
Maybe they could use it for Halloween.
Oh, there we go.
Or April Fools.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize you were so heavily involved with all of this, so that's really fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just because I'd involved in some of Tom's other podcasts on and off over the years, so.
Well, I would say that The Sword and Laser is the reason I became involved in podcasting, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome.
Because Tamahome.
Oh, Tamahome.
He pulled me in. I think he might be the secret central force.
He might be the interconnect. What was that in Cat's Cradle? Like the center of the crass? No, because Vonnegut made up all these names for the in the religion, the Bokkaninism, that there was the crass is a group of people that you find yourself involved with for no good reason, but it's not like a choice of your group to form around you, but it just happens. It's just what life wants to happen. Then there's something that's always at the center of it. Let's see. Wampeter. Wampeter. So the Wampeter is the central theme or purpose of a crass. A crass generally has one Wampeter that it revolves around, but there can be two if one is shifting out of focus, waning, and a new one is coming in. It's a central theme. So
that's a great term. I need to read that book, I think.
Definitely read it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's good. I when I reread it, I didn't love it as much as I remembered, so that was a little bit of a disappointment, but it was still good. It was still really good. I definitely recommend it.
Well, thank you both for joining me today.
Sure.
The not reading envy pod. For listening to the Reading Envy podcast. You can find us at readingenvy.com.